Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
Hello, church. Today officially marks the kickoff of our new fall season of ministry here at Calvary Church. We are so excited. And there's so many great things happening this month for you and your family, from our Calvary small groups that are restarting both in person and online. So you have lots of options there, through to the return of big time kids here on Sunday mornings during our in-person Sunday watch services at 9 and 10:30. It actually starts today, right now. So that's very exciting. Just a reminder that registration for our Sunday watch services and our Calvary Kids is now open. So you can go to our website. It's absolutely necessary if you want to come and be a part of our in-person gatherings on Sunday, which we've been so enjoying seeing one another. Please ensure that you receive a confirmation once you've registered, and we look forward to seeing you sooner than later. And please be assured that we're taking all the necessary precautions to keep you and your family safe. We're following all the BC health guidelines to ensure that that takes place. And I'm also excited to announce that our Calvary Alpha class is back this month. And so you'll have an option to either take that class in person or online. So it's exciting to see people signing up for that and to be a part of it. So if you have questions about God, questions about your purpose in this life, about church, this is a fantastic class for you to take. So I encourage you to go to our website as well. And Root Youth Fridays are back. Our students are back meeting together on Friday nights. And so we're so excited for the family to begin gathering again. So visit calvary.ca for all the latest fall event details and easy to use registration so that you can get set up for our in-person gatherings so that you can plan your next visit. Now, many of our families are very glad that the kids are going back to school and getting into the fall routine again, while others may have already started their new season of homeschooling. And so it looks very much like it did prior to the summer. And so please be in prayer. Pray for parents who are teaching at home. Pray for our teachers who are back in the classroom. Let's pray for the safety of all. And for those of you that have health concerns right now and maybe are not ready to return to our in-person gatherings here at the church, I've got great news. We're continuing our Calvary Church Online for the foreseeable future. It's not something that's going to stay with us now. It's been so successful and such a blessing. If you want to continue to enjoy that from home or from wherever you are. And for some of you, it may be an opportunity to take your home viewing to the next level this fall, to maybe missionally invite another family or a neighbor over for brunch or for a barbecue. Watch the church service together. Enjoy church at home, but enjoy it with someone else at the same time. You know, we've really seen the reach of our church expand during these months, as now we're meeting publicly and from house to house. We've got all kinds of mini campuses all over the Lower Mainland. So let's find creative ways to safely regather as a church. Now, if you happen to miss one of our services, it's okay. You can pick it up on demand. And if you go to our website, again, calvary.ca, go all the way down to the bottom and click on the YouTube icon, you'll be taken right to our Calvary YouTube channel. And you can get all the latest video content. Click on subscribe so that you can be notified, and you'll get all our weekend online experiences, our Calvary Kids content, our Calvary Student, and our devotional content from our team. You'll be kept up to date with everything that's new and fresh. And so even if you happen to miss it, you can pick it up and watch it at another time. We are your church, as we say, anywhere you go, literally. All right, let's jump into episode 2 of our new series. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter. And today we're going to focus on chapter 2. Last week we started with chapter 1. Are you enjoying this series as much as I am? Our new Roar series is focused on the book of 1 Peter. We live in a culture that that roars very loudly with so many different opinions all around us. And it becomes very difficult sometimes to concentrate and to even focus and think for ourselves. But as followers of Jesus, it's vital, it's incredibly important that we're able to navigate this maze of ideas in order to know and to share the truth of the gospel with a world that is sometimes very focused on canceling it. So, the book of Peter walks us through this process of discerning what is the truth and what is a lie. While our enemy roars at us from the sideline, Peter encourages us to persevere in faith and hope. So let's get into chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5 and then jump down to verse 9 through 12. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house." Peter's talking about the church, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Now let's jump down to verse 9. "But you are a chosen people." This is the promise to each and every one of us. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Listen, somebody needed to hear that today. You are God's special possession. You're not a mistake. "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans or among the world, though they accuse you of doing wrong, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. I'd like to preach to you from these verses in a message I'm calling "Feels Like Home." You know, back in the day, the Mattel Corporation, they made games and toys. They created this series of action toys and accessories for kids. And one of my favorite accessories from that time was a little plastic green, I think it was a green backpack that you could buy that would fit onto the back of the G.I. Joe action figure or the Big Jim action figure. Now, some of you will know exactly what I'm talking about. The rest of you can just bear with me. But this little backpack used to go on these action figures, had a little place where you could roll up like a little blanket or a little piece of material to pretend it was like the sleeping bag. And then there was a little ripcord on the back of it. And you could pull this ripcord. And every time you pulled the cord, the backpack would say something different. So you'd pull it and it'll say, "Let's make camp here." You pull it again, "Roll out the sleeping bags, bring the boat and fishing gear." You kept pulling the cord and it kept saying different things. It would say, "It's rough going, can you make it?" I think those little sayings from that toy were burned into my memory, because when we started going camping as a family, when our boys were younger, I'd be there unpacking the car. "Dad, you know, the struggle is real. You know what I'm talking about. Kids are playing, mom's helping to get set up, but you feel like you're the only one at a certain point. Or you look around and nobody's there and you're struggling to get the tent put up, try to get everything together. And suddenly I can hear that little voice from that backpack. "It's rough going. Can you make it?" "No, Big Jim, I don't think I'm going to make it. I think I'm actually going to jump in the lake because I don't want to do this." Because at some point it dawns on me, why on earth have I packed everything into this van to bring it out into the middle of the woods to create a little camp that feels like home? but it's not. When I could be home relaxing in my actual home, where I wouldn't smell like smoke, where everything I owned wouldn't smell like smoke. I know, right? Where's the fun in that? Where's the adventure? And so we go and we do these things because we want to get out and have fun as a family. This past week, I was backing out of my garage with my car, and I saw all that camping gear sitting on the shelf. It hasn't been used for a good long time. And as I talked to friends and family this year, more and more people over the summer headed into the woods with their families to go camping, to stay a little closer to home, to make the best of the things that we're facing. But what used to be roughing it, right? Like when you start camping, when you go and you have small children, you go out and you set up a tent and you get your sleeping bags and you start a little fire to cook some marshmallows. Well, that's not enough for most men because they want to step it up, right? So a little tent, a little wonky tent, becomes a bigger tent with multiple rooms and inflatables to make it feel more and more like home. But then that's not enough. We got to get ourselves a tent trailer. Then we get a hardtop trailer. Then we step it up again, and we get ourselves a 40-foot fifth wheel with air conditioning and Wi-Fi. Now that feels like home. Now for some of you, that may feel actually better than home. But that's how camping has gone. People want it to feel more and more like home. I remember going camping in the States and discovering a campground called the KOA. And KOA rent sites for camper trailers or tents, but they also rent these things called KOA cottages with a K. So you can roll up, open the trunk, load all your gear into your little cottage. You can go jump in the pool. Then you can order a Greek pizza from the general store and have it delivered to your campsite. Now that was awesome. Like having those kind of amenities right there at your fingertips, no tent pegs or poles to set up, just your own personal little cottage. Listen, my sister and her husband are great campers. As a matter of fact, he's a scout leader, so he's like level 10 ninja camper, right? He's got all the gear. They just recently bought themselves at home. She's a chef, so they bought themselves a pizza oven. Right now, you've got to have this outside because it gets cranked up to about 900 degrees. But I just heard that they recently went camping over the Labor Day weekend, and they took all their gear, and they took the pizza oven with them. Now, that for them feels like home. Now, here in chapter 2, Peter's trying to get us to see that just like when we go camping, you create this little home that's not your real home, it kind of feels like home, but it's not. It's your home away from home. That's what Peter is saying. This entire life that we are in is it's a home away from home. That's what he meant when he said, I beg you to see yourselves as sojourners and pilgrims, foreigners and exiles. See, we're just happy campers here on this planet. And as Christ followers, we actually have a true home to look forward to. We're looking forward to heaven. And Peter wants us to keep our heart always pointed in the right direction, to keep our focus, to keep our treasure, to keep our priorities fixed on where we are headed. We live here, but we're traveling through. We're passing through this time in our lives. And as awesome as it is, as incredible as it may be from time to time, what's to come is going to supersede all of our expectations. And some of you would say to me, well, listen, Pastor Steve, I don't sleep on the ground. I don't cook anything over an open flame. My version of camping is a 4-star hotel where 1 star is missing. Well, you know what? Even for you, you may go away on vacation and feel like you've got all your amenities, and it kind of feels like home. It's a smaller version of it that you can relax in, but it's still not your home. And as Christ followers, we are passing through. We're resident aliens. We may live here, but our citizenship is somewhere else. Now, when you're born, whatever country you're born into, you become a citizen of that place. And when we're born again, we saw last week in chapter 1, we become citizens of heaven. How is that done? Well, Peter tells us. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He made a way. heaven is our real home. But until that time, we can actually experience a taste of home right here in church. You see, this community of faith, our church family, is really our home away from home. We are, as Peter says, living stones assembled together. Someone once wisely said that Christ followers are homesick for a home they've never even been yet. Peter was trying to encourage the people to look beyond this temporary existence to what is eternal, to look ahead to what's to come. But in the meantime, to still benefit from and to be a part of this community, this church that he has brought together. God has purposed it to be that way. And one of the greatest gifts, again, that we have in Christ is the promise of our home in heaven. But until then, our home on earth is found in the church. We're an outpost of heaven. And listen, right now in this time in history, the enemy is doing his level best. He is working overtime right now to scatter the sheep, to cancel the church in any way that he can, to break the habit we were in of regularly gathering as a church community, as a family, because he knows how significant that gathering it is in the strengthening of your faith. So I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you to recommit yourself to his mission, our kingdom mission, to love God and love people while leading people to become fully devoted followers of Christ has not been canceled. It's not been delayed. It's not been shut down or put on hold. The lost still need to be found. The blind still need to see. The deaf still need to hear. The dead still need to come back. We need to be pulled out of dark places into that wonderful light. His plan will always prevail. It has for hundreds of years, and it will always advance. You know, the church feels like home. Many of you that have been coming back out for our Sunday watch services have said to me, oh, it's so great to be around our church family again. It just feels like home. That's because Christ wired us for that need. And he created and designed the church to engage with us on a much deeper level. When we worship with a room full of people, we get a taste of what heaven is like. So there's so many benefits, honestly, of doing life together in the house of God, in the church. But let me just give you three this morning that we pull from chapter 2 alone in 1 Peter. And the first one is it's a place to belong. The house of God is a place to belong. Nobody wants to be invisible. Nobody wants to be not seen. It's a horrible thing to walk into a room hurting and going through the agony of whatever it is you're facing personally, but nobody even knows. And you may go to the grocery store, you may go to the movie theater, or to the restaurant, and you may be carrying all kinds of pain and turmoil. And the people that are sitting next to you, the people that are asking for your order, they don't know what you're going through because it's a restaurant, it's a grocery store. But when you come to church, this is a safe place for you to come where people can come around you and pray with you and help do this life together and walk through those things. In your most difficult times, the church will always be here for you. In your greatest moments of celebration, the church will be here with you to celebrate together, to laugh and to cry. If, and I underline that if you're willing to engage, to serve, to do life, to be in community with other people. Don't just come and go. Make an investment to belong, to be connected. You were made in the image of God. Listen, some of you are struggling with how you see yourself and maybe how God sees you. He made you in his image. You have incredible value. You are not your sin. You are chosen, and he died to save you. He has an incredible plan for your life. You're special to him. You're not some kind of evolved monkey. God created you as his son and as his daughter. You were divinely created and shaped by the Creator. And you are welcome here. You are celebrated here, especially in this church. You belong here, truly. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, Peter says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Listen, God's special possession. That's how he sees you. Number two, this is a place to grow. That's what Peter had on his mind when he was talking about being born again as a baby. You need to grow, right? Growing old is not optional, but growing up, it is. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 5, it touches on this. But in that first part, it says to rid yourself of all malice. We read this at the beginning in verse 1. Rid yourself of all those things, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander, every kind of evil. Get rid of it all. It says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Have you ever seen a little baby take to that bottle when it's hungry? Oh my goodness. It just locks on. You best not try to pull it away at that point. But you need nutrition to grow. You need the Word of God. You need to be in community with the saints to continue to grow. Why? The Bible says here, Peter says, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Some of us need to grow up in our salvation. That's why coming back to church is so essential right now. If and when you're ready, come back and be a part of the community of faith that is here to stand with you. You've got to declare war. Listen, you have got to declare war on your sinful desires because they've already declared war on you. You've got to make up your mind. This is not a game to be played. It's a war to be waged. We have an enemy that prowls around. He roars in our face and he wants to chew you up and spit you out. Peter says what? Resist him. Resist him. Not once a month, not once a week, on Sunday, every single day, every moment of the day, resist him. We are living stones. We are fitted together by the master builder himself. We're not alone. We need each other to grow because why? Our iron sharpens iron. Find someone to be accountable to text when you're going through a struggle, to call, to go to coffee with, to meet at church. Listen, on our own, we are limited in our ability to influence the world. But when we come together as a community, where we belong together, where we're growing together, we are part of something so much bigger. What you have in your hand to give, that your loaves and your fishes, they're multiplied when you come together with other people. And not only can we touch and revolutionize families in our community, we can shake our city, we can reach our nation, and we can change the world when we stand together as a church. And number three, it's a place to welcome others. This house, our church, should always be a place to welcome others. We should welcome people when they come. You ever get on a plane, and I remember recently, probably at the beginning of the year, before everything shut down, Susan and I got on a plane, and it looked like everybody had boarded, so all the luggage was up, but it was a longer flight, and so it looked like there was a seat available next to us. And so every time you heard someone walk through the door, you were hoping, you were praying that they weren't going to sit next to you, because you want to spread out, right? You want to relax. And so every time they start coming down the aisle, you're going, come on, Lord, please, just give me a break. Give me an extra seat. Just keep it open. Let's never be a church who doesn't want to make room for somebody else. What if someone didn't make a place for you, right? We were once those people looking for mercy, looking for grace, looking for acceptance. Like Peter says, once we were not a people, now we're the people of God. Once we didn't have mercy, and now we're afforded mercy. Let's make sure that at our table there is always room for one more person, that there's always a chair, and if there isn't, let's go get one. Let's make a place for people. Let's make sure that there's more room It doesn't end with us. There's always room for more. That's why Peter says in verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans or in the world that though they accuse you of doing wrong, and listen, sometimes you will face persecution. People will make fun of you for what you believe. But remember, even Jesus was persecuted. The most effective communicator of the gospel ever. He was the gospel. Jesus was persecuted. Jesus went to towns where people didn't want to hear what he said. He'd shake off the dust and go to the next town that wanted to hear them. Listen, don't argue with people. Always bring them back to Jesus. Always show love. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So listen, we're going to abstain from evil, but not shame the evil doers. We're going to love those that accuse us of doing wrong. You know, many scholars believe that this verse actually is the hinge for the rest of the book of 1 Peter to flow from. It's a very powerful verse. So as we love God and we love other people, it's a natural flow. If you love him, you love what's on his heart, what he's passionate about, and that's people. And in loving others, we will live the good life that Peter talks about. We will love the life that he's given us. Loving God, loving others, and loving life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your great love, that we were once not a people, and now we are chosen by you. We are special. You have called us. And God, we are so thankful to be a part of that community of faith. We're thankful for this church. We pray that as we begin to regather, that we would love people and we would help them come back at a pace they're comfortable with, that we would overcome fear, that we would see healing in our world. And God, we would lift you up in a powerful way. And see the strength return to us as the community of faith that you've called us to. And Lord, we know that we're passing through, that we know you're heading home. But you know what? This church, it feels like home. It feels like home because you've created it that way. This is where your love is. Not just in a building, but in your people. Wherever the church may be. As we gather again, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen every person today. If you're listening to this message and you say, Pastor Steve, I need to know that I have a purpose, that I'm not just random, that this all means something, that this, it's more than just what I'm seeing. 2020 is just I feel like it's a write-off. I want to cancel the whole year. But you know what? Something can happen to you in the midst of this trying time that will revolutionize your life when you say yes to Jesus. If that's you today, your citizenship, it shifts from this place that we live to heaven. And you can know that he holds you in his hand. If that's you today, and you want to receive Christ in your heart, you want to be forgiven of your sins, you want a new chapter to begin, a fresh start, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior. Fill me full of your love and full of hope. And help me to share that good news wherever I go. Give me strength to be an encouragement to others. Help me to stand with the church and to stand strong in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you wherever you are, especially those of you that pray that prayer for the first time. If you have, would you let us know in the chat? Let some of our hosts know. They would love to pray with you and get you some resources. As I mentioned before, Alpha's happening this month. Be a part of a class that will help you build a foundation that will allow you to grow in your faith. And come and be a part of church. Watch online. Watch with your friends. And when you're ready, join us here in the house as we regather together to celebrate.